your social calendar is filling up quick right now. Summer's coming, and I'm here to remind you to schedule a visit to the northwest side of Chicago, to the best butcher shop in Chicago, Joseph's Finest Meats. Why? I grew up in a butcher shop. I know the difference between quality and not quality. And I'm telling you, I would not be advertising or supporting them if I didn't know their product. Whether it's Italian sausage, USDA prime aged beef, or delicious chops, get them thick and brine them. These guys are a must for summer cooking. If you don't have the time, you're frantic, and people are coming over, I'm not ready, go there and get what you need. They have frozen stock, they have frozen items, homemade, frozen, the kind of thing that you would serve at your home to your family and friends. When you're at Joseph's Finest Meats, Sal and Ben will treat you like family. I guarantee that, personally guarantee, because it is a family business. It's a family butcher shop. There are a few of them left. These are the last of the breed. So do yourself and anyone on your social calendar a favor and make time to visit Joseph's Finest Meats on Addison and Nordica on the far northwest side of the city. A family tradition since 1977, 7101 West Addison Street, Chicago. Prime aged beef, sausages, homemade, and only the finest meats and cheese. And don't forget the provolone. I'm going to call and check and see if you got it. Joseph's Finest Meats, the proud sponsors of John Cass News and the Chicago Way podcast. Cheers. I saw a Twitter message from a reader the other day. John Cass, what are your thoughts on the people running for mayor? I guess I have my thoughts, and I have more than one. Jeff Carlin is here. I'm here. Willie Wilson, candidate for mayor, will be a guest. My thoughts are the current occupant, the mayor of Chicago, would not hold a job if he didn't have political hacks protecting him. Nobody would hire that guy. You wouldn't hire him to run your business. You hire him to run the city of Chicago? Willie Wilson will be here talking about this. And Jeff Carlin is here, WGN producer, my friend, Brenda Katz, Baker of Pies. And me, I'm John Cass, executive editor, johncassnews.com, where you always get a good cup of common sense. And where are you as Chicago teeters into the abyss, as people don't know how to deal with a mayor who's full of fantasy and paranoia, and a guy like Wilson comes along who's proven he knows how to read a balance sheet and he wants a job? You're on the Chicago Way podcast on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog, and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way, that's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
As promised, our friend, the hardest working man in politics, Willie Wilson, running for mayor. Welcome to the Chicago Way, Dr. Wilson.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. We still here and plan on staying here the rest of my life, you know?
There's two things I know about you. You plowed with a mule to put food on your table when you're a kid.
Yeah.
My father did the same thing. It wasn't like Al Gore plowing with a mule, butlers coming to him with lemonade. How hard is it to plow with a mule, Dr. Wilson?
It's very hard. I'm actually passing through Oklahoma and coming from Dallas, and it is 160 degrees here. And when we was down plowing a mule, it was about 150 degrees. It's very hard, hot. Ugh. And plus we had the dirt and everything else flying, and, you know, the mule with his, you know, flying as well. So we, it was rough. The days I don't want to ever go back to, that's for sure, you know.
Don't blame you for that.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Wilson, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us. What do you think you can do to fix education in this city? Because I'm on my pathway to become a teacher in the next year. And obviously, Chicago's got some problems. That's no mystery or no hidden truth. What do you think? What would you do to change things?
Well, you had to change, in my opinion, and blame the leadership of Chicago Teachers Union, because those guys are promoting young men and young ladies that don't know how to read or write. We cannot take that anymore. That has to stop, you know. The other thing is that making sure that getting them prepared for the future is that before a kid can pass from one grade to the next grade, there's a couple of things they really need to understand that we have to get into school, prepare them. One is that they got to know how to read or write, number one. Second is that you need to have a trade when you pass from one grade to the next grade. Education don't do it just alone, but you need a trade in order to take them, make sure that you can get have experience.
Route guidance is
and move from education to trade with your hands. All right, and then you got to make sure we get AI in these classes now, because that seems to be where the future is going to be going. Particularly those particular areas there. And then the other thing you got to cut out, and I'm going to call this here, get a budget right, you got to cut out the white-collar crime. All right? And so case in point, what I call white-collar crime myself, is that during the era when the Chicago teacher, I guess they go on different trips and things like that, you know, and then the CTU president takes in, put their particular kid into private school and that one charter school. So we had to change this whole thing around. It's unacceptable. You know, I would bring, first of all, Chicago schools and Chicago itself, you have to run it for what it is. That's a business. I'm the only person that understand, work it business-wise, and balance the budget in its own business, but not with taxpayer dollars.
Balance the budget, and you're not going to go take it from a bank like some other people playing funny games with bank money.
Absolutely not. The thing that you're having here, in my opinion, is this here, is that you can't raise taxes on businesses, because you run businesses out of the city and you run people out of this city. People cannot afford to pay the taxes because they can't buy food. They can't buy gasoline. They can't buy none of that stuff. You know, the roads in Chicago, the pothole is terrible now, you know? And so, look, 40% of the budget in the city, of course, it goes to the unions. And so I would be a mayor for all citizens and represent the people of the city of Chicago. I won't take not one penny for myself, nor would I make deals with people to support me in order for favor. Chicago is the citizen is what is needed to somebody represent them fairly. Lastly, on that question, there is here. I would not. Chicago got a question to ask themselves. I put it that way. The question they got to ask themselves: do they want a person who is bought by a special interest group? Do they want a person who uses his own money, donate his time to help, who has experience in business, who have a compassion for people, who work hard for themselves, who also give away all of his money that he makes now to the citizens of Chicago? Those are the questions.
Sure. And John, before we move on, I just want to just to clarify. Well, Dr. Wilson, you know, sometimes I have a little bit of trouble understanding. Were you saying trades as in like trade schools for students as well as grades? Is that what I was understanding that correctly?
Yeah, you understand that correct.
It's great. I love that.
With over three decades of serving up streetwise insight and local perspective on Page 2, the voice of John Cass has a home at johncassnews.com.
There's a new sheriff in town.
This will truly be the golden age of America. That's what we have to have.
But as he settles in, can you deal with the hysteria, the meltdowns, the constant whining?
I don't know what to do.
You know what you need? You need a good cup of common sense.
It's just common sense.
Like the kind of common sense you get when you subscribe to johncassnews.com. I'm John Cass, 40 years a journalist in Chicago. I opened this website, John Cass News, so that you could have a decent cup of common sense.
This great country of ours was built on its entrepreneurial spirit.
It's time that you join the frontier of independent journalism at johncassnews.com.
Subscribe today to get access to great columns from John Cass, Dan Proft, and others. Don't be a chumalone and subscribe at johncassnews.com.
You have to be able to work with your hands to make something valuable so people will buy it. Because the way I see it, what Chicago Public Schools and the CTU, Chicago Teachers Union, are training our kids to do right now is to go to prison or stay on welfare. That's the only thing they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think it's a crime, personally.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's a pipeline to prison, and then when you get out of prison, it's a pipeline to recirculate back to prison. I would put making sure that trade schools are in prison also, so when those young men and young ladies get out of prison, that they can get a job and then become contractors as well.
All right, I like that. It makes sense. I mean, you, like you both said, you know, there's the education part, the reading, writing, and arithmetic, they're not clearly we're not achieving any sort of acceptable standard. And if we could create a pipeline of people in trades, I mean, how could the unions even argue against that, right? I mean, that's their bread and butter.
And then here's another thing. The union controls the jobs and things of that nature. Look, the citizens of Chicago, you know, you don't deserve to go to union just to get a job. They pay taxpayer dollars like anybody else. If there's a job that is open up, they should be able to bid on those particular jobs and get them without going to the union. Now, I think that a partnership with the unions is good. You use them for help train those disadvantaged neighborhood, and they get the skills right there because they got the contracts and things of that nature already with the education, school board, the city, et cetera, et cetera. But you got to put some guidelines in place like we do in business. And we who are in business, we got to make those budgets work. Otherwise, we out of business. And so when you have to put on your thinking cap, like I did, one morning I woke up, I was $72 million in debt. Well, how did I get there? Well, we had a factory down in Tennessee, and the product from overseas came in, was selling a product 15% lower, and we had to close down. And we lost $72 million. But it took me a year and a half, or maybe two, to be back in the positive side to bring that around. I had to cut. I had to use my mind, and I had to work hard. I had to figure this thing out because we had too many people depending on us. We couldn't let them down. I would bring that same hard work to the citizens of Chicago. And see, there is no different, in my opinion, than people. You got white people, black, Asian, and other brown people. Look, we all want the same thing. We get hungry, we got to eat. We want our kids educated, too. You cannot expect a neighborhood to ever to catch up when you are producing a product that cannot read or write and don't understand the value of how to work hard. Nobody wants no welfare. You can't make it off minimum wages, things of that nature. you have to have people that are about principle of building an empire, with the future of the people in Chicago. You cannot just throw our senior citizens out and don't care about them, that they have to make a decision between to buy groceries or medication. You got to have the right people in office. And I don't know what you guys seen with a letter I wrote the other day that the politician should not be running with two jobs, one running for the Secretary of State and mayor at the same time. All right? Look, I also wrote a letter to have them investigate it and look into what's going on with all those people running with two jobs. Look, but they ain't working 40 hours a week, and they're using taxpayer dollars. And I'm a big taxpayer in the city of Chicago and state. I don't want them running off my money. Okay? Now, so I call that, look, a lack of integrity and principle, that the citizens of Chicago deserve more than that. You have to, you're going to run for office for people, run for the people. Don't run and still try to take money and rob the people. It's wrong.
Well, there was a letter to the Inspector General of the state of Illinois about, it looks to me like you're targeting Alexei Janulis, the Secretary of State, because he's got those jobs, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, we pay him for putting in a 40-hour work week. Well, are you using the people over here? All right. If you show up, saying if you're doing 40 hours a week and running for another job and running for two jobs at the same time, well, there are values in corporate America that we have to live by. We cannot work two jobs and it's doing the same thing. We get fired, So this guy got money of his own, and the citizen over here don't have food to eat, can't buy gasoline or nothing. Yeah, so that's crazy. And I'll make a commitment that is a commitment to the Chicago. And I don't want to see nobody get in that office that I'm going to sit by and do nothing. People say, well, why are you running the fourth time? Well, look, I'm a person believe in you run for what's right. I tell people this here too. Abraham Lincoln ran 21 times for president, 21 times before he became president of the United States of America. You never lose when you're trying to help other people. You just let you keep working and keep going forward. And then I let the Lord decide when it's time for me to stop or not. And nobody else.
Well, I don't want you to stop because I want you to continue. And I think a lot of people in Chicago want you to continue. You targeted Alexei Janulis, and people think, oh, he's Greek and Cass is Greek, so then Cass must love the guy.
Yeah.
No. I love this. I love the city of Chicago and the people of the city.
Absolutely.
I don't play those racial games, the ethnic games, all that stuff. That's what drove us into the ground. Also, I know that your staff will listen to this, so you want to maybe write another letter to the Inspector General and ask him, what about Jaws Giarango? Michael Jaws Giarango, convicted felon, organized crime figure, business ties, big time to Broadway Bank, run by the Janulis family. I'd like to know, what about Jaws?
Well, we'll definitely do that, right. Well, I tell you what, Mr. Cashin, is that the problem with Chicago, in my opinion, is that it's this white-collar crime. Now, I was looking at the reading the other day, looking up some research, and someone got it to me during the COVID kind of a situation. They hired people to take in the homes, et cetera, et cetera. They spent $356 something like that, million dollars, and the person didn't even do the work. and then Federal Funds Plan.
The PPP loans and all that, yeah.
Right. Now, see, here's what look. During COVID-19, I gave away over 100 million face masks. I could have sold them and probably made $100 million from dollar piece, right? But you couldn't get them, so I gave them away, you know? And so to make sure that the new people didn't have the money, they weren't working or anything like that, you know? So as we give away these things, you love the city, you love the people that is out here, and you don't want to see nothing happen to people at all. But so you got the kids at home now, right? They're at home and they're not going to school, right? Okay, so they're going to close down now the school, which is all fine. But look, they can all come down and close down the churches too. If you recall, I stood up for our churches and everything else and, you know, those type of things. But what I think what I'm being basically saying is that we're tired of the white collar crime. And let's face it, you got people that is consultants. You got people who make more on pension than what they made on a salary because they retire and then they get these jobs. That's what I call white collar crime. You cut out all that mess, then guess what? You begin to really clean up and get your budget right. You take them schools, got to consolidate them. You know, I am for a charter school, but the consolidating no particular schools out here, you got school hold 2,000 people. And you only got 100 people in that school. You got to close them down, make development small businesses out of there, or sell them to somebody to use them, and take care of all that debt. But you still got the unions and things like that want to keep them open so they can build landscaping, air conditioning, and those particular jobs.
They want to protect their jobs.
Right.
Do nothing jobs.
That's white collar crime. The white collar crime. You go close that gap. I was set up a committee within City Hall to investigate that and shut that down for the benefit of people staying in Chicago and not leaving Chicago. And I am pro-business. Pro-business is pro-people.
It sounds like it.
Mr. Wilson, how do you stay pro-business in a city, democratic city, where the socialists are taking over? They hate capitalism. They hate business. The mayor of Chicago, I don't even think he could hold a job if he wasn't political. If Tony Preckwinkle didn't put him in office, I don't think the poor guy would be able to feed his family. And what do you do in this country where all these people are hating on business and they hate capitalism and they, what do you make of that? And how can a city and state and country move forward?
Well, you know, before we had the socialist call coming in now, it's been that way for a long time, you know, this condition. So the people have been suffering and doing things, they turn to whatever they can get some help from. You know, so they want to see a change. You know, don't nothing ever replace success. Look, but by it's hard work. Nothing replaces hard work. Hard work, success. You know, don't want no welfare. Nothing like that. All right. But people have gotten into a situation and pushing a corner here, and people just hand out stuff. Look. I heard the opponents the other day were talking about giving 3% and paying minimum wages. Well, minimum wages don't even pay for health insurance. Like so just putting people behind. I talk of living wages, all right? And these socialists have got to take to understand that the only way you can be successful, get a good trade, get a good education, hard work. And most of them, look, if they don't have a job nearby them, one or two blocks by them, they ain't gonna want to work. They don't want to go 5 or 6 miles out and work. You know, that nothing but bring the community down, the whole nine yards. Okay, so you're producing a product that's bad. So we have to maybe, you know, stay to our principles. We must stay to our principles. Like I always look, I'd say this here. I'm always stay to the principle in God we trust. I will never get off in God we trust. Mm-hmm. Right? Right? Faith without work is dead. All right? So nobody can ever change me on that. All right? Okay, so we have to put it in the head, this socialism guy. And so, like, I call him, you keep going that way, it'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah, you know? So we have to make sure that we are bringing people on sound fiscal, they have a responsibility, and cut out the white-collar crime, stop this mess, and move forward for the benefit of Chicago. Instead of running it the way we're running now, and being nobody going to be afforded. You know, I mean, it's going to be a result. Like, I go a result down in the island somewhere because the only people down there know, can afford to be down there and pay it is it wealthy people. Now, I got nothing wrong with wealthy people, but I know that wealthy people with businesses that they're going to still create more jobs. I'm not mad with you because you were successful and made money. Because wealthy people usually take them when they get wealthy, they got ego. They want to be bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And that means more job, you know? And so, but the American dream is one that you can come from somebody like myself from working 13 years without a paycheck. My first job was 20 cents per hour and still made it to where we at today and still able to not to be bitter between races of people. And because I still stay focused in terms we all are human beings, and once we can get together, then it's going to be a better Chicago. And I want to let nobody ever sidetrack with that.
Let's talk about some of the people that are running now for mayor, and some are running for president. And I have to ask you, there's, I don't even want to deal with Pritzker, okay? Because he's letting the Bears leave and he doesn't have anything to say, but blah, blah, blah. But what about Rahm Emanuel? He's out there. He wants to be seen as a leader, Democratic leader. What do you think of him? Especially, I saw a CBS did a big story on him the other day. They talked about his bike riding, how wonderful he is, and they didn't mention one name. I always tell people to look, if it's in business or in politics, look for what is not said. What are they trying to stay away from? And the one thing the CBS reporter did not mention was the name Laquan McDonald. Now, how do you see Rahm Emanuel running for office next year, the year after that, and not being able to address Laquan McDonald? What happened to him? What are your views on that?
Yeah, my views were that he's not going to be a president, in my opinion, of the United States, because you're right. You got to deal with the Laquan McDonald's. He covered that up and mm-hmm. didn't want anything to get out there.
Right.
It when you practice in doing wrong, you can never get nothing right. Period. You know, these guys take exactly. in, make their deals, and cause like they this year, and they just it's not good for the city or not good for the country. And I always tell people, look, don't get this so discouraged. Out here, when you see all these people doing wrong, just roll up your sleeves and you can beat them. You know, that's right, absolutely right. And down there, you know, the day we work 16-hour days down in Louisiana. I work still 16-hour days now and don't even have to work. I work 16-hour days now.
Well, you were a kid working 16-hour days, plowing with that mule, Mr. Charlie. And my father, my father worked 16-hour days plowing with a mule named Truman. And I think both of you guys made it okay.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't want to be jealous of other people. You didn't want to take what they had. You talked about working hard yourself, improving yourself, making your sharpen the steel. And you did it. And my father did it. And that's why you see these communists getting together, using politics to steal from people, to steal from the good people.
Yeah.
They take politics as they use it as a club to take your stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I feel.
Yeah, you got a point there. And that is true. I'm in agreement with you on that. 100%. The politics is so bad until people don't want to come out and vote. They don't see no reason for it. When people get into office, then they lie and they steal money. And when they get out, I think the past mayor way back from Lightfoot. They were dealing with some contract now, I guess, with probably Valley Casino and one of the clients or something. Now, I don't know how true that is, but that's what I heard. But even as such, is that when you take in working for the taxpayer, you should be committed to the citizen and not have a conflict of interest and take in short. The citizen, you know, and then they make all these deals, and the pharmaceutical company make all these deals, somebody in government, then they give more people business in the health industry. When they get out, they become consultants. You know, you've got to draw the line somewhere here.
Yeah, I agree.
And so people lost hope. People have lost hope, and they don't want to vote no more. 20% of the population come out and vote. Come on, you know.
Oh sure, that's unfortunately a hill that nobody seems to be able to overcome. I mean, it's always around that number. But Dr. Wilson, so you've run for a lot. You mentioned it before. You keep running until the good Lord tells you not to. Including, a shot for mayor. This mayor is your fourth time around, Senate, president, that type of thing. What do you say to those who come out and say, well, he's just trying to keep himself in the know and he's going to play spoiler and that kind of stuff? What do you say to those people?
Well, I think they, be honest with you, I think they mentally ill. and the reason I say that is because they ain't got nothing else better to do.
Yeah.
I give away that those gas giveaway everything, and it's like we're gonna get one next week. It's the 21st time we've done these here. And look, we don't even write that off. We don't even write that off. People say, well, you give away, we write off. No, we don't write it off. You know, people say you're doing this here just to get votes. No, we went to Chicken Valley trying to get vote 20, 30 years ago, doing the same thing. Now, it's come down to being a spoiler. Well, everybody's entitled to do what they feel they want to take and do. All right? So what gives them a right to say I'm a spoiler? I have a right to run like they do. They can look at what they do. They're a spoiler from the people around them because they don't want to work or hold a good job. Or they ain't got no money to pay their bill, but they feel complaint. Or they don't, when people holler for gasoline and they can't get their kids to work because they ain't got no gas, I go out and give them money, and they just sit and complain, and they don't even put a one penny in there to help somebody. So I call that a good case of mental ill.
You want to look at mental illness? Think of all the people that are running for mayor now who've criticized you. Think of how many of them have called on called or sent signals to Willie Wilson saying, can I have some campaign money, Dr. Wilson? Can I run for office? Can you help me? I mean, how many checks have you written for them?
Unreal. There was one lady that said I didn't know how to talk, and I ended up, and when she did it, when she first brought it out, and he can't talk, this and that, and I told her, I signed the front of my check, and she signed the back of hers, right? So that's a big, big difference. Years later, she came back, and she had to ask me for some money to help her save, pay some bills. Now, I gave it to her, and I didn't want to do it, but because of my faith, I'm compelled to do right, regardless of whoever do me wrong. And I gave it to her, And because I refuse to be part of bitterness, getting even, doing this or doing that. And by the way, today, in case you don't know, it took me 76 years to do it, but I finally have now can say I do all of the Ten Commandments. I ain't going to get off it.
Yeah, there aren't too many skeletons in your closet that we don't know about, and it seems like you're a stand-up guy. I do want to broach something because Paul Vallis is a regular guest here, and you know Paul, and there are people who were supportive of Paul and kind of felt that if your tranche of that 9% of votes in the last election maybe sank him and kept him from really running away with it. How do you bridge that gap? How do you get those people on board with you who've made it feel slighted?
Well, I think, first of all, let me say this about Paul Ballard. Paul Ballard is a good human being from my perspective. He's a nice, good human being. I have a lot of respect for him. He cares about education. He's a natural-born person that simply cares about people. The people who saying us, slighted, ABC, this and that. Because, I took a lot of heat from the community, because I supported Paul Ballard over this mayor here, Mayor Johnson. And I got a lot of slack from that. And I said, look, the mayor you got right now, they're not going to do it. I'm supporting Paul Ballard. And I did that. Took a lot of complaint against me from the particular African-American community. But I told the African-American community, all Chicago, I am African-American or black, I am white, I'm Latina, I'm all color people, and I'm going to support who I want to support. And I stood my ground, and I always will do that. I refuse to get into, I'm a spoiler, I'm taking this over here. No. We are, our blood is all red. And I've never seen a human being yet. And y'all can tell me if y'all haven't seen him that didn't have red blood.
If they didn't, it didn't last long, that's for sure.
Let's talk about some of the other candidates in the race. I see some of them hardworking people or like spunky. I see Susana Mendoza loving the city. She's a little spunky. I admire that. And Maria Pappas, because I want to, say something nice about a Greek person running, but not Alexi. And I have to ask you, what is your assessment of these folks, Pappas and Susana?
Well, I called out everybody who was running for office, present and past, particularly now, running for two jobs at the same time. And now, Maria Pappas, I really like Maria Pappas. She's a little upset with me now because she said she's going to run, and I said, well, she's working already. So I said, look, nobody should run to have two jobs running for another office, right? But I, Maria Pappas have been very nice. I think she's have a nice personality. I thank Susanna Mendoza and all the rest of them put together. Here's what I suggest everybody. If you don't have any money, you may want to consider taking then not getting into something or you're saving. You see what I'm saying? I mean, my home comes first. I'm going to take care of my family first before I jump out there. So I recommend that you ought to consider having at least a minimum amount of money to get your name out there. But if you cannot afford it, or you don't want to lose it, you want to borrow it from, not borrow it, but ask for other people to donate to you, well, you know, then you're not a mayor to the citizen first. You are a mayor to the special interest first.
Yeah.
So I got some problem with that. If I didn't have the money myself, I wouldn't run. I'd just hang out. If I couldn't afford to lose it, then I wouldn't get out there. I wouldn't expose myself that way out there, you know. But I have a record. If anybody can check my record, we've been giving for the last 30, 40, 50 years plus. And it's all on tape or video, whatever we do. And so you should have a good rapport on your past work, but not just talking about helping people, but you should have a proven record. And you should have a good bank account that doesn't put your family at risk, but also it doesn't put the citizens of Chicago second. All of them.
Good points. I mean, it almost so sounds like you have to earn, have enough money or get to a certain wealth status to run for office in that world.
Well, you can do one or two things. If you don't, then you are a mayor to the people, your best interest group first, and a citizen second.
Well, you don't want to start borrowing money for people that are not in politics, like Alexi's friend Jaws Giarango. That would cause you some problems. I wouldn't advise borrowing a lot of money from him.
Lending money to him. Or lending, in that case, in the Junilius existence. Dr. Wilson, I would ask you too, you know, we're without a police chief in the city now, and it sounds like Johnson may try to push it through and get one, you know, put somebody in office for end of this term. What would you look for? Who would you look for if that you win and you need somebody, you want to put somebody new in that position, or it remains open until you win?
Yeah, my standard for anybody who runs for office, mayor or city of Chicago here and this answer here, would you look for a person that you're going to have principle, integrity, hard work background, a proven record? You check them out. I hire people. And when I hire people, we do all the background check. When I go over into China, they do my background check. I go to Cairo, Egypt, they do my background check. And if something come up on there and that is not right, then I can't get in those countries. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be able to get into a seat, a politician, unless you check their record, make sure the principle is there for the people itself. You know, I'm a firm believer in that, because that way you're working from an establishment of a foundation of they're going to outlast anything else. Otherwise, sure. Next you destroy it. You know?
Yeah, I get that. I mean, you want to have a credible person, but I'm talking more strategically. Are you looking? Would you look for somebody who is looking more on the technology side, leaning more heavily on technology? I mean, are you looking for someone who's going to more of like a military aspect to kind of control things? Would you look to somebody who's not afraid to bring in the National Guard? I mean, is there anything that you, because you, I mean, you're in the streets all the time. You talking to people, shaking hands all the time in some of the worst parts of the city. What do you think people in those parts of the city would want from a police chief?
Well, I think from a police chief, let's talk about Smellin, Superintendent Smellin. He was a hell of a nice guy.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah. And look what happened.
Now he's gone. You know? He couldn't take Johnson. That's the real reason.
Right. You're right. That's absolutely right. All right. You know, people of good rapport, who would you want in your house to spend a night in your house with your family if you didn't check them out with a good record? You wouldn't want that. But you know, people who, look, you don't have to have, okay, look, people ask me this here. If I walk up and come today and ask for a job, they say, what's my background? I'm a chair dropper, and I am a chair dropper. One day in eighth grade, completed the seventh grade, they're not going to give me a job. But if they check my record,
resume,
then they would pick me. Yeah, right, resume, right. They would select me over some of these others that don't have that quality. And I always say this to people in church. I say, well, I got a B.A. Well, the other people got regular B.A., and I said, well, my B.A. is born again. And so that outcrumps everything else. That born again means you treat the neighbor right, you work hard, you do things. But now you put other people in position. You don't have to know everything. But you look, I put people in position. I'm not an accountant, but I hire an accountant. I'm not a lawyer. I hire a lawyer. What I have is the born-again aspect, but I got common sense. Common sense. That's the thing. Common sense.
What does common sense tell you about the judges in Cook County and the attitude they have toward locking people up who deserve it? And there seems to be political credit given to judges if they don't lock a man up because we don't want to put black men in prison or something like that, even though they deserve it. Those individuals who deserve to be separated from us. What do you do with that?
If you commit a crime, you should be held accountable for it. Period. All right. Now, I go to Cook County Jail 3-4 times a year, and I see those young men in there and young ladies. 90-some% of them are African-American and Latino. Right? And so I put on a book, all of them, I put money, $35, $50, whatever it is, on the book for every person in there to have money to buy toothpaste or whatever they want to buy.
Uh-huh.
I go in there. But here's the thing that takes me back. Some of the people ask me, they say, hey, look, I don't even know why I'm even in here. And some of those people are in there in jail and haven't even had a trial. I've been in there 6 months, a year, or whatever it may be, haven't even had a trial and just sitting there, you know? And so the judge just put him in there. I wouldn't want my daughter or my son if they're going to be in there, but you didn't do nothing, just somebody pick them up. This system is broke. You need reform in that. And here's the other thing. Some of the young men, young ladies in Cook County Jail was asking me, they said, I'm getting out. And I said, oh, when are you getting out? I'm getting out in 8 months. And I said, really? So I asked a guy who was, are they really getting out? And he said, Dr. Wilson, they don't understand. They getting out of Cook County Jail, but they're getting sent to the major prison down in downstate. Or mm-hmm. they ship into privatized prison. They don't even know. That is a shame. And on top of that, the kid come down to see them, and their spouse will come down and see them. They don't even have money to take them to catch a bus to get down there. So I told them guys, look, have all of them loved ones come down here. I'm going to give all of them some money. I gave them all $100 a piece so they can come and see their loved one. All right? You have to have compassion out here. You know, The judges need to be reformed. I mean, when I was trying to get the people out, misdemeanor nonviolent because of this justice read I'm talking about now. But we were downstate. I said, look, guys, these guys over here is misdemeanor nonviolent. Somebody took and ran a red light and couldn't pay for their ticket and went to jail. Okay, somebody took some bread, some candy, and now they've been here 6 months of a year. All right? Misdemeanor nonviolent. Right? So I said, we need to change this. And so a few of the lawyers I was talking to down in Springfield came over and said, no, we can't do this because if we let them out, I don't get my money to get that $100, whatever it was, or $200 for a public defender in his pocket. And some of the politicians said, well, we let that happen, our budget is cut, and our budget is based on these people here in jail. We can't let them out. We don't support it. And I said, I'll be down. You know, excuse my expression.
Excuse.
Well, I agree with you, Mr. Wilson, to be compassionate because the Lord asks us to be, and he was, to all the people, including the thief on his left and right. But I also think about people like Bethany McGee, that poor young girl burned alive on the CTA, and Lawrence Reed, who poured gasoline on her and lit her on fire and said, burn, bitch, burn, excuse my language. And he had 72 prior arrests. So it's not all, you know, I had a parking ticket and they threw me in prison. These are bad men who are being let loose.
You have to hold them accountable. Those kind of situations would be, you got to hold them accountable. You got to understand this too now. I had a 20-year-old son that was shot and killed. Drugs.
Yeah, I do.
You know? Yeah. You commit a crime, you'll be held accountable. But, and if I become mayor of Chicago, when I come to that, the whole situation, you're going to be held accountable. You know? I just think that, look, you take the handcuffs off the police, and what I mean by taking the handcuff off the police, don't take it out of content, but I mean, look, if somebody hit somebody in the head and they can't chase them, that's to me is a situation there that is too much, too tight. You know, that young lady that was on that was burned there, I felt compassion for her. I even called down at the hospital and wanted to just go down and do something, whatever I could do and say. Of course, they didn't want me to come, of course, and I didn't go because they wanted their own privacy and everything. But that young man, if he had all the records, should not have been let out. Period. And you don't just do that and let somebody out. You know, you're using common sense, you know?
Well, that's why I'm talking about the judges, because the one person who puts those judges in that spot is Tony Preckwinkle, chairman of the Cook County Democratic Party. And I hold her accountable.
You hold a position, you must be held accountable. She did some stuff, I forgot what it was, years ago, out there with somebody in a car or something, and wiggle way out of there, and system should be ran much better. You know, I mean, I'd agree with you 100% about her. She should be held accountable. And anybody that's in no position, look, we got laws on the book, and we must enforce them. We must enforce them with common sense. If somebody gonna shoot somebody, you have to have accountable. You know, is somebody going to go over and take them and just say, look at somebody in the wrong way? They get into a mismatch and they get arrested. Well, that's a whole different thing. You got to say, okay, you do start to fight. All right, put you on a fine or whatever it may be, versus somebody shooting and killing somebody, no punishment different. Then you got to draw that line and do that, you know?
I'm not going to look at anyone when I'm on the L, if I ever am on the L. I doubt it. But I look forward to your campaign, and I want to see how you deal with the people who just vote skin color and they don't want to listen to what you're saying. And we'll see we'll learn all about it, about ourselves and your candidacy and your campaign.
Well, I appreciate you.
Thanks for being here, Dr. Wilson.
Thanks, Doctor. Always good to talk to you.
You too. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Be well.
See ya.
Bye.
For Willie Wilson, running for the mayor of Chicago, the only one that I think knows how to work hard. He worked hard all his life. That's a man who works hard. You can tell it when you shake his hand. He knows what hard work is. And for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, future physics teacher. And I hope if Dr. Wilson wins the mayoralty, I hope he hires you to take care of the city of Chicago schools.
I'd turn to Paul Vallis, John.
And for me, John Cass, the skeptic. Now I have Alexi Janulis hating on me. Too bad, Alexi. All of you are invited to be on the Chicago Way. Just reach out to Jeff, even Rahm Emanuel. The last time I saw him at a friend's funeral, Bruce Dold, and he gave me the stare like he scared my wife. She's like, man, does he hate you? And I said, yeah, well, he does. So I want everyone to know that I'm working harder to get better every day. And I want to thank you all for your kind words and cards and so forth. And we'll see you again next time on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.